Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Barry Hoffman. We have two, or actually three, subjects that we want to discuss on the program this week. Two of them are related to each other, but they're really three separate subjects. One is the reaction of the pathetic, cowardly, galut-minded government of Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud in Israel to the anti-Semitic UN vote. And the second subject is Donald Trump's reaction to the UN vote and what it means for us. And the third subject we want to discuss involves Donald Trump's latest crazy comments about nuclear weapons and the implications, the potential implications. Let's start off right away, though, by speaking about the UN vote. The UN voted to condemn Jewish settlements in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, Israel's capital. In other words, Jews are not allowed to live in Judea and Samaria, which is the biblical heartland of the Jewish people, according to the UN, and they're not allowed to live even in Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel. Jews are not allowed to live in their own eternal capital. If Jerusalem isn't Jewish, then nothing is Jewish. And of course, that's what the Jew-hating Nazis of the UN are saying with their vote. And so Bibi Netanyahu and Naftali Bennett and Avigdor Lieberman and Aryeh Deri and all these pathetic, ghetto-minded traitors who are running Israel, the Likud, Yisrael Beiteinu, Habayit HaYehudi, Habayit HaYehudoni, which is the Jewish Home Party. All of these political parties and all these leaders are in a panic because they so desperately want to have the support of the nations of the world. They so desperately want to be part of the global world community. They so desperately don't want to be condemned and hated by all the anti-Semites in the world. And so they're literally in a panic because their whole life mission is to placate and appease and bow down before the nations of the world. That's what their whole purpose is. That's what Netanyahu bases his whole policy on. That has been the policy of the self-hating Jews for thousands of years now. We saw how well that policy worked during the Holocaust. There was a Holocaust. It was a Holocaust because the Jews weren't nice enough. And the reason it was a Holocaust is because the Jews didn't fight back. Most of them didn't fight. The vast majority didn't fight back. They didn't resist. They went along and allowed the Germans to take them to death camps and allowed the Germans to murder them without any resistance. Didn't push to go to the land of Israel at a time when we had an opportunity to create a Jewish state. That's why there was a Holocaust, unfortunately. But anyway, I just want to quickly go over two incidents in Jewish history to prove that there is something that the Torah teaches us, that Judaism teaches us, that the Bible teaches us. It says, "Hen am levadad yishkonu vagoyim lo yitchashav," which means, "Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations." That's in the Torah. It's a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. In other words, when Israel is isolated, when Israel refuses to give in, when Israel refuses to surrender, that's a great blessing. When Israel actually has so-called support and pretends to have allies and lives under the illusion that it has allies, that is a curse. It is a curse when the Jews are dependent on Washington and other nations or the UN or anyone else, or try to be, even though these entities hate the Jews, but they live in a fantasy world that we have allies. That is a curse. Why? Because God deliberately set up this situation where Israel, tiny Israel, would be isolated and hated by the leaders of the nations of the world. The nations of the world would hate Israel and hate the Jews and isolate them. And despite that, against all odds, miraculously, Israel wins big victories. Israel wins wars in 6 days against enemies that outnumber her 100 to 1. Because when that happens, when Israel's all alone and isolated and wins these amazing, miraculous victories, it is Kiddush Hashem, it's sanctifying God's name. It proves that it had to be a miracle, that it had to be the hand of God, that this is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So God deliberately set up this situation like this. On the other hand, if the United States and other nations support Israel, then when Israel wins victories, all the people that want to deny God's miraculous intervention would say, "What do you mean, God? Because you have support from the United States, because you have support." In fact, that's what the Arab Muslim Nazis claim to this day. They claim Israel wins because the United States supports Israel. The United States doesn't support Israel. Never did. But the United States always pressured Israel not to win, not to defend herself. Always. The United States doesn't even recognize Israel's own capital. If Israel's the only country in the world, the United States will not recognize her capital. Even her capital city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not Jewish. According to the United States policy, it isn't. And that's every president in American history has had that policy. So Israel is completely isolated. Now, of course, there are people, there are individuals among the nations of the world who support and genuinely want Israel to win, who believe in the Bible, and who want the Jews to win. Of course there are. But they're not the rulers or leaders of the nations. The rulers and leaders of the nations of the world are against Israel. And so, and the majority of the population in the nations of the world are against Israel. Those who support Israel, those who want to follow what the Bible says, are a distinct minority in all countries of the world. They're a definite, distinct minority. And they're not the leaders of the nations of the world. They're not in leadership positions. So the challenge for the Jews is, do you go with what God commands, or do you give in to pressure and accept what nations of the world who want Israel, who actually want Israel to disappear, do you accept what they demand? Bibi Netanyahu and his government and the type of leaders you have in Israel always cave in. Always. They're incapable of doing what good Jews should do. They're incapable of doing anything courageous. They're incapable of acting with faith because they have no faith. They have no belief. And that includes even the so-called religious in the government are not really religious. They're political prostitutes and frauds who are in this for money and power and don't have any principles. And so that's the situation we're in. If we were in power, I'll give you an example of what happened in the past and what would happen if we were in power. If we were in power, we would bring the final redemption. The Jewish people and the world would see the final redemption because the return of the Jews to their land after 2,000 years is the ultimate sign that God wants to bring the final redemption to the world. There's no question that that's the fulfillment of the biblical prophecy, and that is the sign that God wants to bring final redemption, the fulfillment of that prophecy. Those are the end days. These events are end day events in the Bible. You believe in the Bible, then there's no question that the final redemption could be at hand if the Jews would just do what God demands. Here's what happened when the Jews in past history did defy the nations of the world. In 1948, the United States under Harry Truman, who was not a friend of the Jews, contrary to what the imbecilic Jews want to believe, because everybody's a friend, everybody's pro-Israel according to the Jews. They're so desperate to win the love of the nations of the world. They're so pathetically desperate, they won't accept the fact that almost everybody hates their guts. Not everybody, but the vast majority of people hate their guts, and they don't want to accept it. They can't stand the thought of it. But it's the truth. And the more they cower, and the more they beg, and the more they get on their hands and knees, the more they hate it. In any event, Harry Truman and the United States, along with Britain, demanded that Israel not come into being. Told the Jews in the land of Israel not to declare a Jewish state in 1948. They said, "You cannot create a Jewish state. We don't want a Jewish state. We're going to have an American-British trusteeship in the land of Israel for the next 10 years. Next 10 years, we're going to have what we call a trusteeship. America and Britain together will rule over the land for the next 10 years, and you'll have to forget about a Jewish state." That's what they said. So David Ben-Gurion, the traitor who was the first prime minister of Israel, unfortunately, he gathered together people from the so-called Jewish agency, from the Haganah, all the establishment people, he gathered them together and said, "Well, we have to vote. Are we going to create a Jewish state, or are we going to give in to the American-British pressure not to?" By one vote, by just one vote, they decided to declare a Jewish state. I mean, what would have happened if the vote had gone the other way? They decided to declare a Jewish state and defy the United States. That shows, by the way, what type of leaders they were, that they almost didn't declare a Jewish state. By the way, the only reason they did is because of the pressure they were under from right-wing Jews like the Irgun Tzvai Leumi, Etzel, and Lehi, and the Lehi, which was the Stern group, and other right-wing Jewish underground freedom-fighting organizations. Because of the pressure they were under from them, they felt compelled to declare a Jewish state. And even then, by only one vote, they did it. So they defied the United States. They declared a Jewish state. They announced the creation of a Jewish state for the first time in 2,000 years. And the United States immediately punished Israel by saying Truman slapped an arms embargo on Israel. Israel didn't get a single bullet, didn't get anything from the United States in the 1948 war, nothing. While the United States and Britain, well, through Britain, they were arming Israel's Arab enemies that had attacked the Jewish state, promising to push the Jews into the sea. They were actually arming those who wanted to commit genocide against the Jews. And what happened? Israel's isolated. The world is against Israel. The United States and Britain told Israel, don't you dare do this. There's even an arms embargo on Israel. You would think this is the ultimate nightmare for the self-hating Judenrat Jews that we see, that whose lives revolve around the concept of we must please the world, and we must have allies, and we must be accepted by the world. That's their ultimate nightmare, right? Israel won a spectacular victory, outnumbered 100-1. The tiny Jewish state beat back 7 invading Arab armies and won the most spectacular victory since biblical times in 1948. And for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jews returned to their homeland because the Jews defied the nations of the world. Because the Jews lived by the Torah admonition, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. It's a blessing when we dwell alone and are not reckoned among the nations, because then it shows clearly this has to be the hand of God. And in 1967, when the whole Arab world came on Israel's borders and promised to push the Jews into the sea, Israel was in borders that were only 6 to 9 miles wide at that time. Tiny little country. And the whole Arab world, outnumbering Israel 100-1, comes on Israel's borders promising to push the Jews into the sea and exterminate the Jews and commit another Holocaust. And they were saying this openly in the UN, the Arab leaders and the Muslim leaders. Openly, they were saying that they're going to exterminate the Jews and perpetrate another Holocaust. All of them were openly saying so. At that time, President Johnson, another Jew-hating piece of garbage, President Lyndon Johnson told Israel, don't you dare strike first, because Israel wanted to stage what's called a preemptive strike. In other words, strike before the Arabs marched on Israel's borders. They were all assembled, ready to attack. The question was, would Israel strike first with a preemptive strike, or would Israel absorb the blow of an Arab attack, which would have been disastrous? So Israel had to decide. And Israel decided to ignore the pressure of President Johnson, who said, you can't strike first, don't you dare strike first. The Soviets threatened Israel, the French threatened Israel, the UN, everybody threatened Israel. Israel was completely isolated, and Israel struck first in 1967. Within 6 days, Israel was 4 times her original size, quadrupled in size within 6 days, outnumbered 100-1. Outnumbered 100-1, in 6 days, quadrupled in size. Where do you see miracles like this? Is there anywhere in the annals of history where you see miraculous victories like this? This is right out of the Bible. These are miracles right out of the Bible. Because again, Israel followed the Torah admonition at that time. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. And by the way, the Jewish leaders who did what they did in 1967, they didn't do it because they believed in God. They weren't religious. They did it because whatever the circumstances, God pushed them into a situation, and whatever the circumstances, they felt almost compelled that they had to do it for survival's sake. Their back was against the wall. But the result It doesn't matter what their motivation was. The result is when Israel behaves like that, when Israel acts alone and defies the evil rulers of the world that are demanding that Israel commit suicide, when Israel acts alone, it's a tremendous blessing and it brings unbelievable, breathtaking miracles. Miracles of biblical proportion. If we were in power, you would see a return to the Israel of 1967, of the Six-Day War, the Israel that was in triumph, in spectacular victory, and we would bring the final redemption to the Jewish people and to the world. And by the way, that's not an exaggeration. God is ready to bring final redemption to the world if only we're willing to do what He commands us to do. But I'm not even allowed to step foot in Israel. Rabbi Meir Kahana, our beloved leader, Hashem Yikom Damo, was banned and murdered. The situation there is a bad situation because people have no rights and no freedom there. And we try to raise enough money to reach millions of people with our message, but we only can reach thousands because our budget is limited. So we're in the situation that we're in. We still have to fight. We have to do everything we can to influence things and to try to reach as many people with the truth as possible. That's our obligation to do so. But unfortunately, we have leaders in Israel who are a catastrophe, who are a nightmare. Now, Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Jew hater, of course, he didn't veto the UN resolution. He's the one who pushed for the UN resolution. He was the one who, even though the United States technically abstained behind the scenes, even Netanyahu has said behind and has proven that behind the scenes it was Barack Hussein Obama, John Kerry, John Cohen. His father's name was Cohen. Always the self-hating Jew is the worst enemy of Israel. Always. The one who wants to hide that he's Jewish. But it was the media that exposed that Kerry's father's name was originally Cohen. That his grandfather's name was Cohen, so his family name of his father was Cohen. Self-hating scum, yamach shmo v'zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. But they, behind the scenes, pushed for this resolution. Now, Donald Trump is against the resolution. But the reason why he says he's against the resolution should be very concerning. He says he's against it because he says the parties themselves must directly negotiate peace. Israel and the so-called Palestinians, there are no Palestinians, first of all. I got news for Donald Trump and for Netanyahu. There are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine, it's a lie. But Trump says we're going to negotiate peace between Israel and the so-called Palestinians, which would be suicide for Israel, of course. The so-called peace means the creation of a Palestinian state. That's national suicide for Israel. Israel would be in borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide. It'd be complete national suicide. Trump says he's going to do it, but he says he's not going to do it through the UN. He's going to do it through direct negotiations between the parties. That could be worse than what we have now. At least Obama does it in such a crude way. I mean, he's such a crude, obvious Jew hater that all of Israel unites against Obama when Obama does, or 80% of Israeli Jews immediately stiffen their spine and unite against him when he does such crude anti-Semitic things like the UN resolution. But Trump doesn't want to do it through the UN. He says, let's do it through direct negotiations, God forbid. I'm saying God forbid. Because that could be extremely dangerous. If he gets involved and starts pushing this, this could be even worse than what we had under Obama. I'm not optimistic about Donald Trump's presidency. As you know, I think that he's a boorish, egotistical, evil, immoral person. I think his supporters are evil and immoral. And I think that, and I think they're anti-Semitic. Most of them are anti-Semitic. And the fact is, we have a situation where he has committed himself to pushing for the so-called peace. If he does so, then we're going to face a very dangerous challenge here. Very dangerous. Because he's going to start pressuring Israel to give in. And that's going to be a very dangerous situation. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he's so involved with all of his other problems that he doesn't get around to doing what he wants to do with Israel, although he tweeted again in the past couple of days that there will be peace, that he's going to make sure there's peace between Israel and so-called Palestinians. God forbid. So-called peace agreement means only one thing. It means Israeli surrender and Israeli retreat to suicidal borders. God forbid. But then all the stupid Jews who supported Trump will, then they'll really see what a disastrous move they made by doing so. God forbid. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope he's too entangled with all the other things that he's doing. Now, people have mentioned to us one of the arguments made by the Trump self-hating Jews and by the others who are telling us, no, Trump is really good for Israel. Yeah, sure. Is that he appointed a UN ambassador, David Friedman, who was pro-Israel. And yes, David Friedman, his new UN ambassador, who was also in charge of his Jewish voter effort during the campaign. David Friedman is genuinely pro-Israel. He's an Orthodox Jew. He supports the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. And he takes positions that are pro-Israel, that are definitely pro-Israel. David Friedman is pro-Israel. I believe he sincerely cares about Israel and is someone who really wants what's best for Israel. And that is Trump's new UN ambassador. That would be wonderful if all of Trump's appointments had that mentality, had that attitude toward Israel. The problem is David Friedman is the only one that Trump has appointed who is pro-Israel. The only one. All of his other appointments are bad. All of his other appointments are anti-Israel. The Goldman Sachs, Judenrat Kapo, who he appointed to be Treasury Secretary. The other Goldman Sachs, Judenrat Kapo, who he put in charge of budget management and the economy and the economy. He's put Goldman Sachs in charge of the whole U.S. economy from the standpoint of the federal government. After saying that Goldman Sachs, that anyone involved with Goldman Sachs shouldn't be allowed to run for president. And Rex Tillerson, I mean, ExxonMobil, you can't get more anti-Israel, more anti-Semitic than the world's largest oil, multinational oil company. I mean, they've always been anti-Israel. They've always wanted to make deals with the Arab world by doing anything that will please the Arab leaders, including destroying Israel. Have done everything they can to lobby against Israel, to hurt Israel, to propagandize against Israel, to defend Israel's Arab Nazi enemies. Always. That's his new Secretary of State? And you're telling me that that's pro-Israel? What are you, crazy? And James Mattis, his Secretary of Defense, who openly made the most anti-Semitic, anti-Israel attacks possible, practically blaming Israel for the fact that American soldiers are being killed by Muslim terrorists? Israel's responsible for Muslim terrorists murdering American soldiers? Israel's enemies murder American soldiers, and this filthy piece of Nazi garbage, James Mattis, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated, blames Israel and blames the Jews for what their enemies are doing? I mean, that's the ultimate anti-Semitism. So, his UN ambassador is pro-Israel, but that's the only pro-Israel appointment. Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, the far more important positions like Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, who actually set policy, are all anti-Israel, very anti-Israel. And his pro-Russia policy, remember, Russia and Putin are working directly to destroy Israel. They're building Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. They're working in Syria with Hezbollah, Syria and Lebanon with Hezbollah, the Hezbollah terrorists. The Russians are doing everything they can to destroy Israel. And this new alliance that Trump wants with Russia is very dangerous. It's bad for America. It's also bad for Israel. And you know, Trump's latest remarks on nuclear weapons. You remember during the campaign, one of the things that immediately, when Trump said Saudi Arabia should have nuclear weapons, South Korea should have nuclear weapons, Japan should have nuclear weapons. When he said that, that's when we decided we will never support him in his campaign for president. Never. We will not support him. That was it for us. You remember? That was the breaking point. He said many other stupid things. Almost everything he said was stupid and terrible. But that really did it for us. Now, he's saying that the U.S. should build up more and more nuclear weapons. We should have a nuclear arms race. Now, The problem with this is that Trump believes in a world with more nuclear weapons and nuclear bombs. And he thinks there's nothing wrong with that, apparently. And he's calling for a massive nuclear arms race and a massive buildup of nuclear weapons. That's very, very dangerous. It's a crazy statement. It's crazy and it's very dangerous. And it's in addition to all the other crazy things he said. And of course, if he's going to say Saudi Arabia should get nuclear weapons and South Korea and Japan and the U.S. is going to build up more and more nuclear weapons as well, and everybody, there should be a big nuclear arms race, of course that's going to lead to a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. That's going to endanger Israel's survival. And eventually Muslim terrorists are going to get their hands on nuclear weapons if that's the world that Donald Trump creates. So his remarks are very troubling, to say the least. Let's hope and pray that we reach enough people in time in Israel, because we're reaching people with our message, just not enough people, because we don't have enough resources to reach enough people fast enough. But we're reaching people, and the people we reach, we do influence. Let's hope that we get enough support and we reach enough people so that we can make the ultimate difference and save Israel from the insanity of her leaders. We need your help to do that. We need you to join with us. We need every check, money order, cash donation sent to our post office box. It really does make a difference. And in addition to that, of course, people who want to donate online, same thing. Has the same very positive effect. If you donate online with your credit card by going to hayamin.org and clicking on the donate button, also, every donation does make a difference. It enables us to reach more people. It enables us to bring our message to more people. It enables us to be more effective. And that's very important, because somebody has to tell the truth in this generation. You know, we often have a pretty dark message, it seems. But our overall message is the most optimistic you can possibly have. Because we know that in the end, the good guys are going to win in the end, because Hashem, God, is in charge, and He promises us that. And there's no doubt that in the end, the good guys are going to win. In the end, there is going to be redemption. We just want to avoid the unnecessary suffering and death and torment and horrors that may occur until we get to the redemption, as punishment for the fact that we're not doing the right thing, that we're not following what God commands us to follow. But in the end, our message is actually a very optimistic message. In the end, the good guys will win. In the end, there's going to be Tehiyat HaMetim, resurrection of the dead. And there is going to be final redemption. There is going to be eternal life for those who do what Hashem commands them to do, for Jews and for righteous Gentiles. So our message is as optimistic as you can possibly get. We believe that even death is not going to win over us in the final analysis. We have to wake people up as quickly as possible, and we have to make them aware of what the real facts are. If we can do that with enough people and do it in time, we can change history. If we work together as a team, we can change history. Until next week for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.